Now, what do we mean by spirit? The word itself, the way it's used, is, I think, fascinating. We talk about all sorts of things as spirited. That was a very spirited discussion. That was a very spirited horse. What does it mean? There's something about being alive, lots of oomph. Life somehow breathed into us. There's also this distinction between the spirit and the letter of the law. What is the difference? Oh, abiding by the letter of the law is one thing, but that could be at the expense of the spirit in which that law was framed in the first place. Very legalistic, absolutely correct, and morally bankrupt. You know, the sort of weird combinations when you end up with things like the law is an ass because of it, and so forth. So the spirit, spirited, is one dimension. When do you feel spirited? What engages you? What enlivens you? What does that for you? Do you know? I'm sure you do. Very different for different people. And it's almost certainly going to take us back to play again in some way. Playfulness. So what is the life of the spirit? There's another use of the word. Spiritual, another use of the word. There's a tendency to confuse spiritual with religious. Not the same at all. You could be very spiritual and have no religious affiliations whatsoever. Very common, actually. Which is why you get these apparently contradictory data sometimes emerging, where many people think that the world is more than just the material essence of it, and yet fewer and fewer people are going to church. How can this be? It's pretty simple, really. One of the things that I think often happens is, for people, there's some connection between a peak experience and their own sense of what? Going beyond themselves. Part of the spiritual, whatever that may be, seems to involve a sense of a bigger system, beyond self. That bigger system is construed by different people in quite different ways. But what's common to those differences is they are just a piece of something that's bigger than them. And that takes them beyond their everyday sense of self and their everyday dramas. And it could come about through a peak experience, which could be, you know, just the sunset, making love. It could be anything. So peak experiences, they may be a way you get there. Something else that happens when you start thinking about this dimension, the dimension of being spirited, being alive, being engaged, having a sense of something bigger than yourself, it actually brings us almost full circle, because it will invariably be what informs people's mission. Mission and vision are quite close. They're not necessarily the same, although for some people they are. But mission invariably goes beyond self. It's in the service of something more than me. You know, if you had somebody and you asked them, what is your mission? And they said, my mission is to become extraordinarily successful. Okay, is that it? It's kind of a limited mission, actually. Because all they'd be doing is they get to be successful in some way or another, and you then keep, you know, ratcheting it up. More, more, more. Whereas I think what mission is about is a sense of being engaged with something beyond oneself and yet to which you are connected. It is beyond and yet connected to oneself. And it gets to be pretty compelling for people. I'm doing what I'm doing, I need to pay attention to how I do it, and I need to get my ducks in a row, and at the same time, the reason I'm doing it is not just for the sake of doing it. There's something more. And that something is what makes it worth the doing. That's why it matters to me. And that takes us into very interesting areas, potentially, like the whole notion of the servant leader, for instance. The one who leads by serving others. And can only lead when they learn to serve well. So there's a lot that potentially we could be exploring here. Talked about vision, purpose, and spirit. I think spirit informs the whole thing. And I'm wondering, when you have felt spirited, alive, engaged, animated, committed, wanting more, and perhaps wanting to go beyond what has been before, so that the more is just not more of the same. And maybe you want more, but not necessarily for yourself. It's okay to have it for yourself. Maybe you've had the experience of wanting more for others. Those of you who are parents, those of you who are working with a team, you may want things for those people. So, let me ask you to just take a moment, given all that I've been saying, let's bring this back to specific experiences. Specific experiences of yours. Given what I've been saying, what resonates for you? What times come to mind? What impulses? What occasions? What dreams? Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, because these are matters of moment. You know, these things matter to us. I don't think that a quick couple of hours on this and you're done. I actually think these are issues that are part and parcel of being human on an ongoing basis. They seem to me to be extraordinarily important. It's also exactly the kind of thing I spend a lot of time working with as a coach. Whether people come specifically with these kinds of issues, or whether they come out as a result of looking at why isn't the job working for me? Why am I not working for the company in the way the company thought I would, you know, whatever. It is astonishing how frequently we get to basic issues of this sort. So I think these things matter to us. And my invitation to you would be to take what we've been doing and start to gather more examples. Because you have a number of simple diagnostic tests you can use, given what we've been doing, which enable you to track, am I moving in the right direction or not? And also to determine whether there are some things that you might want to change as ways of thinking. For instance, if you're busy firefighting, there tends to be a lot of smoke. You can't see too clearly further ahead. I want to finish just by asking you, if you were to take just one thing from what we've been exploring that would have the maximum effect for you, what would that be? What would that be? And the question for me that then arises is, okay, so what's the next step? What's the next step for you, given that one thing? A lovely story of a traditional Indian doctor working with patients, and one harassed businessman came to him very stressed out, and he wrote a prescription, as this doctor did for many patients, and the prescription was delivered quite seriously and did not in this instance require a visit to the pharmacy. The prescription just read, play with children. Whatever. I think this also starts to take us on a journey. It's a journey that should be one that's worth making as we're making it. That takes me into other areas, which would be best summed up, I guess, by talking about the quest that each of us is on. But that's for another time. So, till we meet again, thank you.
International Teaching Seminars has pioneered the practical applications of the most advanced change technologies as they develop. Throughout the year, ITS offers programs that enable people to apply leading-edge knowledge so that they can move forward in their professional lives while at the same time learning how to experience real personal fulfillment. If you're interested in finding out more about what's possible, as well as learning about NLP and coaching, visit the ITS website at www.itsnlp.com or call ITS on 01268 777 125. If you're interested in taking coaching further and would like to talk over how to get the right kind of coach, please call ITS on 01268 777 125. That's 01268 777 125. Or email us at info@itsnlp.com. That's info@itsnlp.com.